Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan, Nick, and Weiss here with you for the emergency Saquon episode. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Gentlemen, it is currently 5:23 p.m. on Monday. We are past the 4 o'clock deadline and approximately 3:55. News dropped that the New York Giants and Saquon Barkley were not close, and there has been no contract extension. And the
franchise tag is what it is.
And here we are with the franchise tag. All right, we're going to talk about it. Won't be a particularly long episode, but it is noteworthy news. So it does warrant an episode. So I love it. This is basically what we've been asking for. Really, it's just economical competence as it pertains to building a team, managing the salary cap. Like, why are you going to extend a position that over the past few years, not even the past few years, I mean, over the last 5 to 10 years, you could argue, has decreased in value. I don't know what Saquon's representation was gunning for or what they were whispering in his ear throughout the course of the season when he was allegedly offered $13 million a year from Joe Shane and turned it down. The market since then has tanked. You know, we're seeing players take less money. We're seeing Josh Jacobs unable to come to an agreement. Tony Pollard unable to come to an agreement. Saquon Barkley unable to come to an agreement. This is the world that we're living in. This is the NFL world. And if you have the franchise tag and you can apply it for $10.1 million, that is the smart thing to do. So, Weiss, why don't you go ahead and give your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised. I thought leading up to it, I think there would be some sort of a compromise.
I'm surprised as well. I will say that. I did think that something would get done.
I thought a deal would get done. I heard some stuff over the weekend that indicated, you know, it's likely going to get done, but it's not close. Yeah, not as close as what some people were saying. But anyways, look, I think when you talk about my feelings, I think this was the right approach. I thought, you know, the franchise tag sucks, but the franchise tag exists. And for the Giants, you can't blame them for using it. They actually used it, and they used it the right way. I think if you go back to when this whole thing started, you know, and everything that's been reported, you know, we could talk about who you believe, what you believe, but if you look at everything that's been reported about Saquon Barkley's contract situation and this franchise tag, it pretty much aligns perfectly and it draws a timeline. There was an offer made, again, depending on who you believe, of a certain amount. That offer was taken off the table after Daniel Jones's contract was signed, and that allowed the Giants to franchise Saquon. Once they franchised him, that sort of took a lot of the leverage away from Saquon Barkley. After that, the offer came off the table. And what Pro Football Talks' Mike Florio reported last week when he said, hey, the Giants told him if you don't take this offer and we franchise you, that offer is no longer going to exist. Again, it aligns with the timeline. And then for the Giants, it just didn't make sense to make an offer to Saquon that was really, really significant, significantly more than what he would earn on two franchise tags. I mean, look at basically what this is now. It's a $10.1 million one-year deal. And then if they do it again next year, it's 11 million. So that's 2 years, 22 million, but only 10 million is guaranteed up front. The other 12 or 11 you would have to earn. Whereas if you just give them a long-term deal that's 22 million guaranteed, he's getting that guaranteed regardless. So again, look, this was the right decision for the Giants. They can franchise tag Barkley again next year. It sucks for Saquon. I mean, it's tough. I mean, look, $10 million is a lot of money, but when you look at the trajectory of the NFL and you look at some of the other positions and how the price tag for corners and receiver, and I'm not going to talk about quarterbacks, but, you know, corners, receivers, linebackers, they're all increasing. Yeah, they're all increasing. I mean, I did this research thing when I looked at, you know, franchise tag numbers for every position from, like, I went back to like 2012, then 2015, 2017 to today. From 2017 to 2023, the only position that's franchise tag did not increase, instead it decreased, was the running back position. a franchise tag for a running back in 2017 would cost you $12 million. Today, it costs you $10 million. For a quarterback in 2017, it was $21 million. Now it's $32 million. I'm just trying to put it into perspective. And that's the NFL. I mean, six players were franchise tagged this year. Three of them were running backs. One was a quarterback. One was a defensive lineman. And one was a tight end. The only three that didn't get a long-term deal was the running back, including the guy that led the league in rushing last year. Josh Jacobs led the league in rushing. He's still considered to be in the prime of his career, and he couldn't get a long-term deal. I mean, if that doesn't tell you what the league is saying about running backs, I don't know what else to say. So, look.
I mean, listen, if you're raising a kid today, teach him how to shoot a three and teach him how to throw 100-mile-an-hour gas.
There's nothing wrong with being a running back. There's just $10 million. $10 million is still $10 million.
Yeah, and you know what? $10 million, $10 million. You know what's nice? NBA money.
Oh yeah.
MLB money.
Oh yeah.
So I really don't understand the logic from Saquon's camp moving forward. I would love one of you to break it down for me, because it seems like at this point, a trade is off the table. He has to play this upcoming season. The guy can't sit out, nor will he sit out a full season. We saw this with Le'Veon Bell before the Jets gave him massive money, and we saw how that worked out.
Which, by the way, Le'Veon Bell apologized today.
I did see that.
For sitting out
really?
That season. Yeah, for the Steelers.
That's funny.
Which is ironic.
So I don't understand the game plan here. You know, you hope that you stay healthy enough that you warrant an extension from someone else or from the Giants, or you get the franchise tag placed on you a second time. Like, in terms of maximizing your money and your value and your health, I don't understand where you go from here. I'm being serious. Like, I no way that I think about it. Like, at some point you sort of got to like tuck your tail between your legs and just take Joe Shane's offer, because what else is there? No one's paying running backs. It's not just Joe Shane. It's just the current market. So I don't understand from his perspective, his agent's perspective, like what their goal now is, because it doesn't seem like there are very many options forward.
They're going to try and make the team look bad, which is why anytime any numbers from the team side have come out, Saquon or Saquon's people have immediately come out and said, well, that's not true. That's not true. They're lying to you. They're going to try and make the team look bad, and it's not going to work because they don't have any leverage.
Not only do they not have any leverage, this Giants regime does not care. They don't. You can put whatever you want out into the press. Joe Shane is. We've seen this now. Joe Shane is going to operate in the best interest of this team, both in the short term and the long term. So they can put out whatever statements they want and any rumors they want. It doesn't matter. It's not going to help them. This is not Dave Gettleman and John Mara's team anymore. This is Joe Shane's team. Joe Shane is calling the shots. You can't manipulate this man through the media. We've learned that. So, again, I don't know what their end goal here is.
They'll put the heat on the team. If he misses some of camp, that'll be some drama during camp. But we actually have a real coach, so I'm not really worried about drama in camp, yeah, if that's a thing. Like, I know Dable will have them ready to go by week one. If Saquon shows up week one and that's the first time he's with the team, I'm not worried about it. If Saquon doesn't show up till week four, I'm not particularly worried about it, because he's not moving the needle any one way in any of those four games in a discernible way. The line moves, what, half a point if Saquon's in the lineup for those four games? If that.
Yeah,
it's an inconsequential difference at this point.
It really is. And just from, like, you know, a lot of people, first of all, you have a lot of emotional Giants fans who just constantly think with their heart instead of their head, and they're like, you got to pay him. No, you don't. The chowder that I've
literally
seen
don't
from,
have, they, I mean, well, they are paying him, but you don't have to pay him what he wants.
Exactly.
Right.
$10 million is still a lot of money. Let's not get that.
No, but the chatter around the league, it's like, I keep seeing people are like, oh my God, like, yo, Isaiah Hodgins is the Giants' best, you know, the best receiver. Like, oh, this team's going to suck. Like, have we just forgotten about Darren Waller, who's going to have like 10 touchdowns and over 1,000 yards this year? Like, have we forgotten that Wandale Robinson is healthy, that Sterling Shepard's coming back? Like, this team has options. Obviously, Saquon's talented. No one's going to debate that. But, like, that is the benefit of having Brian Daboll as your head coach and Mike Kafka as your offensive coordinator. Like, I'm sorry, he's a running back. Like you can scheme other ways to create offense and make points, especially with the quarterback that you just paid a lot of money, who's known for using his legs. So like the public perception outside of Giants land, I don't fully understand it. I think it's wrong. And yeah, go ahead, Nick.
So I think the point we should make based off of that is the important thing to remember is it's not just about next year, the upcoming season. And that's really the point here. Like right now, yes, you can say Saquon is their most talented playmaker. But for the most part, a lot of this team is going to continue to get turned over, especially at those skill positions. It's why they threw a bunch of darts at receivers and skill position guys, because they're still ironing out what type of personnel they want, what type of team they're going to be. And I said this with Weiss before the end of last season. In all likelihood, they're going to lose more games next year than they did last year, just purely on simple regression. Just they'll probably win somewhere between 7 and 10 games, and if you get lucky you win 10, if you go unlucky you lose you win 7. But it's not about next year. You need to be worried about 2-3 years from now, because that's really when you'll see the entirety of the Dable Shane program really come to fruition, because they've entirely turned over the roster. They've got guys they want in there. So yes, Saquon's their most talented skill position player right now, but the hope is a year or two from now you have that X wide receiver to go opposite Darren Waller on the other side of the field, and you hope Darren Waller clicks right away, and you can draft a running back in the second, third, fourth, fifth round of this upcoming draft or the year after that, and keep turning it over, because Saquon's a good player, but he's not good enough where you need to orient your entire franchise around him.
100%, and you bring up a good point. I feel like when Shane and Dable were hired, you know, my take was it's not about last year, it's not about this year, it's about year three. And year one was about seeing what they had currently on the roster, cleaning up the mess that Dave Gettleman made for both personnel and the salary cap. So, yeah, like this year, it's really not, I mean, yeah, it's about winning, but it's not about winning. And the goal when they took over is by that third year, when they want to be competitive, Saquon Barkley cannot be your most talented offensive playmaker, because of the teams that are successful and the teams that win Super Bowls, how many of them have their running back as their best playmaker?
That was something Rich Eisen was arguing about on Twitter last week that had me in tears. He was like, how many teams that lost the Super Bowl would love to have a Saquon? I hate to tell you, Saquon wasn't winning the Eagles the Super Bowl last year.
Saquon is not the reason that the Eagles were Saquon Barkley on the Eagles team through the regular season. Yeah, sure. It's a, you know, it's an abundance of riches, but it's not the reason that they did or did not make it as far as they did or lost the Super Bowl. Fucking Rich Eisen.
Every now and then the boomers come out with the running back takes that are like, this is just ignorant of everything that's going on. Like Dalvin Cook is unsigned. Ezekiel Elliott is unsigned. Those are two solidly talented guys who will end up on teams this fall. But, you know, we're 2 weeks away from camp starting and we have no idea where any of these guys are going to end up. And it's why you got to your point before, them not just eating it and going back to Shane and being like, all right, we'll take that, and getting 2 years of security, missed opportunity. There genuinely missed opportunity from Saquon's people.
Yeah,
I think it's pretty evident that Saquon wasn't happy with his
representation.
Consider you made
they brought in CAA, right?
Yeah. So clearly there was some issues there. I don't necessarily blame Saquon for declining that offer. He was very close to free agency, because if Daniel Jones doesn't come to the agreement, the franchise tag is going on Daniel Jones, and Saquon Barkley is a free agent. So I don't really blame him there. I think the mistakes that happened were, you know, they took the wrong risks, whether they didn't accept the offer or they didn't, you know, their asking price didn't come down enough. I mean, a lot of things happen that we probably don't know. The one thing that we know is that the Giants had the franchise tag at their disposal. And once they placed the franchise tag on Barkley, they controlled the negotiations. And that's we saw it how it play out like that, and there wasn't a sense of urgency of having to get something done, because they knew they had the franchise tag. And sitting out games, I just don't think he's 26 years old in the prime of his career, and he's getting ready to earn $10.1 million. His cap hit in 2023 amongst running backs is still in the top five.
I think there's two other running backs that have a higher franchise that have a higher cap hit than him. It's guaranteed money. And here's the thing. You talk about, well, what's he playing for? Financially speaking and truthfully speaking, and it sucks, but He's playing for that second franchise tag because that second franchise tag would get up to $22 million guaranteed over 2 years. And for a running back, getting $22 million guaranteed dollars over 2 years, even though it wasn't guaranteed up front, that's pretty good money. So if you're asking, well, what does Saquon Barkley play for? Well, first of all, he plays for the $10.1 million this year. But if he plays really well, then guess what? He gets tagged again for another $12 million. That's $22 million bucks that he got over 2 years. So
I'll tell you what, I do think that is one avenue that he
that is the only financial avenue here.
Disagree. I think the other avenue is he sucks it up and he plays well enough where maybe there's a team dumb enough midseason, if the Giants aren't doing so hot, that wants to trade for him, or in the offseason, he can find someone else that would take him. But it really is predicated on him staying healthy and not being a total distraction, which would require him to show up. And
he's not showing up to training camp.
And nor no, I meant for week one.
He'll be there that week of after Labor Day as they prepare for week one. He'll show up, sign the tag, and he'll get ready for week one. But he's not coming to training camp, nor should he. I don't think he should come to camp. You try to preserve yourself as much as possible. You don't want to suffer an injury. And
I got a spin zone for you guys.
Yes.
There is a world in which I was thinking in my head, like, what's the most optimistic spin zone of this? He sits out like 4 weeks and then comes in week four, fresh as a daisy, and only plays 12 games and looks pretty good, only playing 12 games. Like when the Yankees had those stupid rules for Jabba Chamberlain in like 2006, where he couldn't pitch on consecutive days and shit like that. That's the other end of the spin zone. Okay, sit out a month, Saquon. If the team's doing poorly, okay, come back. He's not the savior. The team's doing well, okay, he comes back and they get a good guy in the group. There's no way this blows back on the Giants. There really isn't.
Yeah, I was gonna say maybe they start 4-0 and all of a sudden it's like they don't really need me.
Even if he has another season like he did last year, and the team has the success that they had last year, where they go to the playoffs, they can just franchise tag him again.
Exactly.
Like this isn't a tough thing to figure out. Like, I understand people want to, oh my God, he's not sitting out games. He's going to be out of training camp. The questions are always going to be asked to players. Oh, the first question every single player is going to be asked, especially an offensive player, when they get to the podium is, what are your thoughts on the Saquon Barkley holdout? What does it feel like to not have Saquon here? Talk about his leadership, blah, 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 blah. And that you're going to get, so get ready for that. But
I'm already sick of it.
Yeah, come September, Saquon's going to be there. He's going to sign the tag and he's going to play because there's $10.1 million on the table. I don't understand why people seem to overlook that in this whole thing. This
isn't now, like, real quick, what is that in Bitcoin?
I don't know.
I forgot about that.
It's tough for me to get in, it's tough for me to ever get into the Bitcoin thing because I never figured out the purpose of it. But anyways, just
to money launder. That is the reason Bitcoin exists, yeah. To money launder.
But for Barkley, man, look, this is the situation. What are you playing for? Well, you're playing to have another good season and to get tagged again and get another $12 million next year. $12 million next year. That's essentially what this is. And if the Giants don't tag you, great. You'll hit the free agent market. But it's tough. It's not easy. I thought for sure last night when I was taking some notes, I was like, I'm going to come up here and we're going to be talking about an extension for Barkley.
Joe Shane, don't play that shit, Weiss.
And you know what another big thing is? Because this has been talked about a lot over the course of the last like 4, 5, 6 years. As we've always talked about ownership meddling. They're getting involved.
Joe Shane's Giants.
If you ever want a clear sign about ownership not being as involved to tilt decisions, this is it. Because yep. Saquon is a money-making machine for the Giants, both on the field and off the field. And for him to not get that long-term deal, it just speaks to how much ownership has really taken a backseat to a lot of the football decisions.
And we love to see it.
I have no complaints. Joe Shane knows what he's doing.
Yeah, yes, he does.
That's pretty, pretty telling about how these Giants are being run now.
It's crazy how much changes in a year, man. You start with your GM and your coach, and it all trickles down from there. You feel good about the leadership, and it goes down from there. You start feeling better about the roster the more they get to mold it in the way they want it. And so far, nothing to be worried about.
I'm going to list some running backs and their situations. Okay, you ready? These are the running backs that took a pay cut this offseason. Joe Mixon, Aaron Jones.
Those are both very good running backs.
These are three backs that got cut this offseason.
Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, Leonard Fournette. All three are still free agents. All three are also under 30, by the way. Three of them were tagged, but they didn't get a long-term deal. Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard. Josh Jacobs actually led the league in rushing. Tony Pollard is Ezekiel Elliott's replacement. I bring that up because the Cowboys seem to be a team that's willing to pay a running back, but they stuck to their guns on that too. A running back that wanted a new deal but didn't get one and then asked for a trade and didn't get traded was Austin Ekeler. And then a running back that's still a free agent right now, on top of the other three that I mentioned, is Kareem Hunt. Just to put it in perspective for you. Going into next season, the running backs, with the highest paid cap hit, three of the five are the ones that were franchise tagged this year. I'm just trying to put it in perspective for everybody. The league has spoken. The Giants are now at that table where they finally understand about positional value and all that. And they had the franchise tag at their disposal and they used it. So I don't know what else to
This
say
is
about it.
delightful. There's nothing to
Yeah,
complain about. This
I
is
know.
awesome.
If you were to tell me how would I play this situation out with Barkley, I would say franchise tag, see if you can get some sort of incentive lace deal done, and go from there. That have the negotiation centered around the franchise tag figure and go from there. And it just seems like that's how it played out.
Joe Shane Masterclass.
Absolutely.
All right, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's do
Cool.
it.
All right. That was the Saquon Barkley episode. We'll be back at various points throughout the offseason when news breaks. Follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zoraris. Follow the blog at Gotham SN. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. You guys know the deal. We'll talk to you soon.